We are the Three Count Podcast, and if you want some, come get some. Shout out to John Cena on his 20th anniversary week. This is the Three Count Podcast. Welcome to the show. I'm Dylan Chambers, and after forgetting his key to the forbidden door last week, Benny is back. Welcome back, Benny.
Welcome, Dil, firstly, and thanks for having me back, actually. Yeah. Last week's pod, mate, you did so well without me. I've seen the views. 222 views without me, mate. Do you really need me here? I don't know. What's going on?
Oh, mate, I felt like I was talking for 3 hours, and then I looked at it, and it was 19 minutes. So,
mate, you did a brilliant job. Brilliant job. Much, shout out to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Much happier to have you back to bounce off. Now, we're going to be doing plenty of bouncing today. Got another big show. Going to take a look at the latest news, break down what was a brilliant AEW New Japan pay-per-view. Look ahead, give our predictions for Money in the Bank. And of course, we're going to have another draft. This week, we're going to draft the best Money in the Bank cash-ins. Make sure you follow us on the socials, at 3CountPod on Twitter and Facebook, at 3CountPodcast on Instagram. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button or that follow button on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Benny, let's start with what's going on in the wrestling world. What do you got for me?
Well, mate, I think we are recording this on Friday night. Obviously, SmackDown's tomorrow. But the biggest news of the day, Triple H and Stephanie have made a big signing, haven't they? Logan Paul. Signed with WWE.
Very, very big signing.
Massive.
Steph and Triple H's first big signing.
I don't mind it. Like, I've been on Twitter all day today. I was at work all day and just trying to get as much Twitter as I could. And everyone's hammering it. Oh, you know, the purists, all the purists. Now, shout out to you guys who are purists, but we're wrestling fans. We love all wrestling.
Yeah.
And I think this is not a bad thing for wrestling in any way. Logan Paul is going to bring so many of you. I literally chatted to my staff at work today and I was talking to them. Now, one of my staff is a massive YouTube fan. Hates wrestling. And he's like, I'm going to start watching it because of Logan Paul. And this is what's going to happen with all of that YouTube crowd, young, old, whatever else. Boxing, I know boxing's, they cross over, but they, like, everybody's going to come in. They're going to start watching it because of him.
Do you know what? That WrestleMania match, he showed some potential.
He really did. A bit of
training, and that'll be interesting. Now, we don't know how long the contract's for.
No, we don't. He said it's a big contract, but I think he meant big as in big for
big, you know, money.
The way he talks up everything. Well, big, it will be big money. Of course, it'll be big money.
Yeah.
But I think he just means big as in what he's going to do with it and stuff like that, and just big news in a sense. But I'll just quickly throw it to you. We're talking WrestleMania matches and people, who do you think had a better WrestleMania match, Logan this year or Bad Bunny last year?
Oof.
Like
that's a tough one.
Bad Bunny did some amazing moves, but Logan had a great match. You know what I mean?
Like, I think for the wrestling purists out there, I think Logan Paul had more of a wrestling match than Bad Bunny did. Bad Bunny had some big spots, which were really fun, and he pulled off perfectly.
Yeah, there was a couple of drivers and stuff like that. They both jumped off the top rope, which we all know isn't easy to do. We've all remember when Gronk came in and Vince had to show him how to jump off the stage and everything. So, I mean, but I think he's athletic. He's got a background in, you know, boxing. Well, not a background, but he's been boxing and that kind of stuff. And I think it's going to be good. And, like, he obviously went on Twitter today and went on Instagram and everything, and he called out The Miz straight away. He goes, I'm not here to be friends. I'm not here. He goes, all I'm here to do is beat The Miz's ass at SummerSlam. So we know that match is going to come up, and we'll obviously have a big match there. And they'll market that brilliantly.
Now is going to be the real test of how good a heel Miz can be. If he can make Logan Paul into a baby face, The Miz can do anything.
Mate, this is what I was about to say. Because for me, I look at Logan Paul and I go, I just want to punch that guy in the face. So if The Miz can make him a baby, then wow, The Miz is like all time. Like,
yeah.
He's already a first ballot Hall of Famer in my eyes. Well, in most people's eyes. He's a two-time Grand Slam champ, like whatever else. But I mean, if he can pull this off, I don't know. Like, are they gonna go in double heel versus heel with this match? I know we're not talking about it now. We will get to it when SummerSlam comes around. But it's big news across the whole internet. Like TMZ are pulling this stuff up. Like everybody's pulling this stuff up. So it's mainstream media, which is exactly what WWE needs right now, considering all the stuff that you talked about last week with Vince and all that kind of stuff. So
absolutely, I mean, a nice bit of positive news for WWE.
Yeah, Triple H and Stephanie have just done the perfect thing. You know, they need to pull away from the attention of the other stuff and let's go.
Now, that wasn't the only signing Triple H and Stephanie have done. They've signed Valerie Larita, former Bellator MMA fighter, has a 4-1 record. They've signed her. So another decent signing there of someone from the MMA world.
Yeah, so you've got to be thinking that, you know, if she goes well when she comes in, you start her off against somebody like a Shayna if she goes up to the main card. Obviously, she'll probably start in NXT. Yeah. But, I mean, they want this whole Ronda Rousey, baddest woman on the planet thing. So they want real fighters to be fighting that kind of thing against Ronda and those kind of people. So that'll be interesting.
It should be fun to see. Now, for all our Australian fans, I'm assuming most are Australian. I'm sure we've got some international fans out there. Exciting news, Money in the Bank this Sunday and SummerSlam. For those Foxtel customers, it will be free. Free on Fox 8, Money in the Bank, and SummerSlam.
I did not know that. That's crazy.
It's only just come out this week. Very, very exciting stuff if you're a Foxtel fan. If you're not, you can still get it on KO or the network.
So it's on Fox 8.
Fox 8 for free.
Well, I was gonna mention this with you. They're no longer pay-per-views anymore these days. They are premium live events.
That's right. Premium live events.
I guess they're trying to get a bit of a market in and that kind of stuff. So I don't mind. Like that's great for them. Like they'll drag in more fans again. So
I know WWE are currently in talks with Foxtel about their new contract. So I think this might have something to do with it. But we will see. There's some interesting things coming in Australia for those WWE fans. Now, some more Australian news. The Wrestling Observer has reported that WWE are reportedly looking at calling up Zion Quinn.
Yes.
AKA Daniel Vito.
Let's go the dot. Come on the dot.
There are some in WWE that believe he is the total package. He's had a few main roster dark matches already. Could this be Quinn's time?
Fingers crossed. Do they just pretend he's part of the bloodline? You know, the Samoan heritage. Surely they can find something in there that'll connect him.
You know, I agree. Watching some of the NXT stuff, he's got the charisma. He's got the athletic ability. He's obviously learned a lot of the wrestling now.
He's really picked it up.
He's got the look. Bring him up.
But just use him the right way. Like, this is the problem that we've always talked about with WWE.
Like, I think this is the beauty, though, with Zion Quinn, because he's not being heavily used in NXT, right? No. Like he's having some interesting matches with some interesting cats, but he's not winning the NXT title anytime soon.
No. Well, also just quickly on that, Grayson Waller had a big win last week on NXT. So, I mean, like that's good also for the Aussies.
Yeah.
Just a quick shout out to Grayson. So hopefully they both start doing some stuff. But if the dot comes up, old rugby league fan here. So I've got to call him the dot from Vito. That'd be brilliant. It'd be great to see him on there.
That would be great. In other WWE news, The Undertaker is going to have a one dead man show during SummerSlam weekend where fans will get to Q&A him. So that'll be interesting from Taker.
Imagine the ticket price for that.
Yeah, I'd be scared to look at that one. It's in like a bar in Nashville. So yeah, I don't imagine there'd be too many seats.
No. They'd probably be all coffins.
Dead coffins. Now, as we alluded to earlier, John Cena made his return. He's the 20th anniversary. Fairly uneventful, really. There's some teasers of Theory and Seth Rollins, maybe, but...
Were you surprised that when he did his big speech that Theory didn't come out and they didn't make a big thing of it?
Absolutely.
Like obviously, we all know we're going to get it at SummerSlam, yeah?
Yeah.
We're getting that match.
I was waiting for, but is it going to be Rollins now? Because they've started to tease some stuff now too. So,
yeah, I don't know. I did read on, you know, all these different fan pages and everything that like we're all a part of, somebody put forward, I wish I had his personal name, like I would give him a shout out, but he gave this big spiel about how he wishes that, because Cena's never won the IC title. So he's like, put him up against Gunther, it'd be great, yeah, whatever else. I'm like, I just can't see that happening, you know? And he's like, let Cena win it, and then they build it up to Clash of the, what is it? Clash of the Castle thing.
Clash at the Castle. Jeez, imagine if the, imagine if they make the IC belt go on a part-timer as well.
No, well, because that's what they're saying, you know, and then Clash at the Castle, Gunther, say Cena then puts Gunther over, and then Gunther comes out even stronger. But like you said last week, Gunther won. He's then retained, he beat Ricochet again last week. He's going to hold that title for a long time now.
I think
they're
so.
They're going to make him look like a monster, and he's just going to run with that title. So I know I've just gone off a little bit wavelength there, but just a little quick Cena thing. We all think Cena theory. It's going to happen. You know, there was a couple of backstage things when he was seeing everybody shaking everyone's hands.
Meeting Ezekiel for the first time was great.
Yeah, that was good. When he walked through the whole crowd, when Becky Lynch was just sitting on the box by herself, just sold anything. Oh, like there were so many memes. It was like, oh, obviously Becky can't see John Cena and all that kind of stuff. That was good. I liked it.
That was good stuff. I mean, and AEW allowed a couple of their guys to come and do some WWE videos. Jericho, Bryan Danielson, Big Show.
I did read that they did ask for it, and Tony Khan just said yes straight away, which is good. Like, I like that. That's, you know, that's a little thing that I think Tony Khan is more on the positive side of giving back a little bit. So I like,
he's got a lot of respect for the industry, old TK.
Well, he's a massive fan. He grew up like us, just, you know, he's a bit older than us, but he grew up a massive fan. And like I always say, AEW is still just Tony Khan playing with toys in his bedroom. So
maybe they should start building some bridges.
Well, we won't go too far. imagine a triple forbidden door, and then here we go.
Wouldn't that be brilliant? Well, we've got Ring of Honor there too. Let's make it a Fatal four-way Forbidden Door.
Bring back WCW and ECW.
Bring them back. Let's bring them back.
We'll get the old TNA six-sided ring, and then we'll just go crazy.
Have the X Division back with hanging from the ceiling. Now reports are that Sasha Banks has been released, but it's been kept quiet because WWE are hoping to smooth things over and re-sign her.
Well, yeah, I heard that. There's a lot of conversations with her lawyers and that kind of stuff, and it's getting a bit murky.
It is getting very murky. It's all he said, she said. This report says this. This report says this. So,
and obviously we've got the other person in that tag team that's just gone by the wayside.
Radio silence from Naomi.
Nothing. Obviously, she probably can't say much with her husband being in such a big storyline and all that kind of stuff. He's probably telling her, "Live your life, babe. I'm proud of you, but you know, I'm big right now. So
yeah,
can you be a little bit quiet?"
I
can't back you in public, but babe, I love you, but come on.
All right, moving on, Benny. AEW news. Now, for those video game fans out there, while there's no release date yet for AEW's first video game, Kenny Omega has confirmed that Cody Rhodes will be a playable character. He wants to give a shout out to the origins of AEW. So Cody Rhodes will be in the game. Now, speaking of Kenny Omega, he's currently rehabbing from all his injuries and surgeries and whatnot. He's come out and said that if he has another major injury, he's done.
Done.
It seems like the rehab's getting to him. It's super painful. He's just like, I'm not doing it again.
Well, just offhand, like, how old is Kenny Omega? What, 37, 38, 40?
Yeah, he's in his late 30s.
Yeah, so pretty old, like us.
Yeah, like us, yeah.
Mate, I could not
imagine. Premium athletes like us.
I couldn't imagine even bouncing off the ropes at my age, let alone what he does. So, I mean, I understand it. He has had some big matches in his day, and he's done some high-flying stuff. And, you know, it's sad to think that, but it is what it is, you know.
It is what it is.
You got to, with the CTE stuff in these kind of days, you know, he's got to Gotta take care of himself.
You gotta be very careful. All right. Now we will get into this a little bit later. Spoiler alert, though, I'm sure you've all watched it. Claudio Castagnoli is now All Elite.
Called it.
AKA Cesaro. That you did. And it is not just for those two matches. He's signed a long-term deal. So we'll see Claudio Castagnoli. It's hard to, I still can't get around it. Cesaro for me.
We'll just call him Cesaro.
He signed a long-term deal, so that's exciting. TK asked about MJF status. Won't comment on it.
I love this. I love this so much. Just long, long burn. It's the slow burn.
The very, very slow burn. I mean, we got a while till All Out.
They're doing it right so far. Because all this, you know, he said, she said, stuff like that, like you said, it's the slow burn. If you don't say anything about it, you don't want it, you make no comment. And then, you know, I reckon in about 2 or 3 weeks, you'll just get this tweet from MJF that'll just be like, screw TK or something like that. You know what I mean?
I'm at your house.
Oh. The old at your house. Yeah, let's do that one.
But I do like how AEW, it's like the opposite of what you'd expect WWE, right? They're willing to give up on selling merchandise to further this story.
Yeah, but that's good. Like, I like that. That goes back to JBL days when JBL was like, I don't want any merchandise as a heel. Don't sell anything for me because I don't want the crowd to like me whatsoever.
Same as how Bryan Danielson, I mean, he's got that one shirt for AEW, but I'm sure that was, you know, part of the contract. We've got to have one shirt, but he just comes out in a white shirt.
Yeah, that's perfect.
He doesn't want it. He's like, that's not my thing.
Just quickly, like, just a quick thought. When does the NFL season start? What, 90?
September.
80 days away or something?
Almost 2 months away, yeah.
And when's All Out?
Almost 2 months away.
Well, what about the first Jags game? You know, MJF just comes out and, like, just before the game says something like...
Just jumps kneecaps on. Trevor Lawrence?
No, it just comes out on the field and just starts, like, bad-mouthing TK, like, on the on the field before the first Jags game or something. Like, how good would that be?
That, like, from, on a massive... From the skybox.
That'd be massive.
Yeah.
Something like that, you know? Like, they could be doing some sort of slow burn. Like, TK, if that was your plan and I've just ruined it, sorry, buddy, but, you know... Something like that, because that brings even more fans back in, you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
That'd be so good.
That's a good idea. Now, spoiler alert for this one. If you have not seen Rampage yet, we're recording this before Rampage goes to air, though it has happened.
Oh.
We are looking at the new contender for the AEW interim title, which was decided in the Royal Rampage.
Just so everybody knows, Dylan's ruining this for me as well. So I haven't looked up the results.
Apologies.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Look, if you haven't seen it and you don't want spoilers, skip ahead of this in maybe 30 seconds. And skip ahead now.
I'll be muffing.
At the Royal Rampage, Brody King is the last man standing. Eliminating Darby Allin, who is the runner-up. So we've got King versus Mox now. Very interesting choice for the winner.
It's a big match, though. That could be a brutal match.
Yeah, no date on the match yet. I'm sure we'll find out on Dynamite, but Brody King, the new challenger to the AEW interim title.
I don't mind it. I don't, like,
Would have been a surprise if I didn't ruin it for you, but...
Well, it would have, but, I mean, if it came down to him and Darby, I would have thought he'd probably... I just can't see... Like, Darby's not... ready for a title match, so
no.
I mean, and with the with what Brody King's got behind him, there's a lot of things they can do there. So
yeah, it should be a good little feud. Now, last bit of news, you know, after being beaten by Claudio at Forbidden Door, Zack Sabre Jr. has said he will not come back to the US to wrestle again. If someone wants him, they've got to go to Japan or the UK.
Spoiler alert, as well for me. If I was him, I don't blame him. And when we talk about this match later on, you'll understand how I back what Zach says.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Well, let's get into it, Benny. Forbidden Woo! Door. What a pay-per-view.
Can I just preface this with saying, Dylan, I did not watch the buy-in.
That's okay. We're not talking about... We won't talk about the buy-in. We've got enough to get through today.
All right.
As much as I love anything with the Acclaimed in it, I will pass on the buy-in this week.
Yeah, I did hear that Lee and Swerve did have a good match though.
Yep.
The Guns and the Acclaimed are being set up for something, obviously, which we did see more on Blood and Guts. But anyway, let's go.
We did. We kicked off with the trios match: Jericho, Guevara, and Suzuki against Kingston, Yuta, and Umino. pretty chaotic match. Tay Conti interfered, hitting Umino with a baseball bat. He managed to lock in a Boston Crab on Jericho. It took a few super kicks from Guevara and a headbutt from Suzuki to get him to release us. We saw a cool exchange from Kingston and Suzuki just chopping the crap out of each other and having Suzuki just no-sell Kingston's chops. Very fun stuff. In the end, Jericho hit the Judas effect on Umino for the win. What did you think, Benny?
Mate, I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was a pretty good match. I thought they made Umino look great.
Yeah.
He looked like a 10 out of 10 star in that match, even though he took the pin and whatever else. He just looked amazing. I've never really seen anything from him before.
It was a fun pay-per-view because we got to experience some of these New Japan guys who we might not have seen so much of before.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And then they obviously showed like the whole stuff about how, you know, how Jericho did what he did to Yumino's dad and all that kind of stuff. And
yeah, the red shoes stuff. Yeah,
that was really fun. Like, I really thought. I personally gave it a 2 count for the match. I thought it was fun. It did what it did. And like I've literally written here, Suzuki, the king of no selling. Like, the whole match, he just didn't sell. There was even times I remember somebody was going for a pin on Jericho. It was on Sammy Guevara. And he was on the outside looking in, and he's just looking, and he was like doing the whole like.
Oh, I do remember that too. He's like, yeah, should I break up now?
I think it was when he was in the crab, actually, yeah. The Boston crab. He was looking, he's going, it was because you could see him in the background, you know, like on the rings behind it. And he was just like, should I get in? And he was like, no, I couldn't be bothered.
It's like, that looks like a Jericho problem.
Yeah, exactly. I loved it. Like, Minoru is, He's a mean
airman. To be honest, he was almost the most over guy in that fight.
Yeah, I agree.
Incredible stuff. Now, I gave it a 1.5. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. Great spots. Yuta's great. Yuta and Sammy are both great. Yeah. A feud between them would be so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
But the match didn't blow my socks off, but it was a solid start to the pay-per-view. Set the stage for Blood and Guts, which is exactly what it was meant to do.
Yeah, exactly right. Obviously, it was brilliant. Well, not brilliant, but yeah. That whole setup, but yeah, it was good.
Speaking of brilliant, we move on to the Ring of Honor and IWGP Tag Team Championship match. Winner take all, FTR, United Empire, Roppongi Vice. So much action in this match. Now, Dax injured his shoulder, had to leave ringside, leaving Cash by himself. The professionals in this match in kind of filling that void was amazing.
So just watching, did you think it was a work or did you think it was...
I thought it was legit. And from everything I've heard, it is legit.
Legit. So at first I thought it was a work, but then once the trainers came out and stuff, I was like, oh no, this is shoot. He's actually injured.
Yeah.
But I think it just made even more better for the match.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Because him coming back out and that pop that he got coming back out was absolutely amazing. It was so good. And just the way he came out and he was only using one arm, but he was still just doing all those moves and everything else. And he just picked up, he obviously picked up the match where he thought he needed to pick it up. They obviously had to ad-lib, but they just did a brilliant job. And I thought it was so good the way they did that.
It was brilliant. So he came back. FTR hit the big rig on Rocky Romero, got the win to add another set of titles. I gave it a 2.5.
I gave it 2.5.
Those guys picked up the slack so well. Like us thinking that it's a work was a tribute to how good those guys are in the ring.
Yeah, completely agree. I've never really seen much of the United Empire boys, but Cobb's a freak. That standing moonsault that he did at 285 pounds. Crazy, but Great O'Khan, I'm a fan. He is a monster. I'm a new fan there.
Maybe this is our new tag team because I could go on about how awesome I think Jeff Cobb is all night.
Yeah.
He's just amazing.
It's not often you and I agree on something. So I mean we might finally found something here.
United Empire, I love it. I did see Bleacher Report. They want to test to see if Cobb is Rhino's son.
I like that.
Absolutely brilliant. I gave it 2.5. And I was, to be honest, I picked Roppongi Vice on the pod, and I thought they were going to get it so many times.
But they did get it. They did get it. Roppongi Vice got a three count. They got the three count, and the ref effed up, and the crowd started chanting, "You effed up." He actually counted a three count, and then on the second count, he went one, two, and then he kicked out.
Yes.
So Roppongi Vice actually did win. Technically, they won.
So I predicted it right. Yeah, good.
Yeah, but and then you even seen after the match, the Roppongi Vice are on the outside saying to the ref, "Three, we got the three." So they played it up on the outside, even though they knew it was a stuff up. They kept that in character and worked that perfectly, because if there's ever possibly a storyline down the road, they can come back to that.
Yeah.
So that's those one of those little like one percenters that nobody notices. But if you watch it back, guys, on the outside after the match, FDR is celebrating. Roppongi Vice are sitting there talking to the ref going, "We got the three." So you can always get that video from another angle or whatever else, and then they can bring that back to a storyline in the future, which I really love from Roppongi Vice, because not many people will do that. You know, they'll just walk off and be upset.
It's the little things, Benny. It's the little things.
The one percenters.
The little things. I love Roppongi Vice. I hope they get some title. I know it's I mean, I guess Rocky Marrero is not technically in AEW, right? He's New Japan. And then you've got Best Friends with Trent. Trent needs something, because Trent's amazing.
He's great. Just on Great O'Khan though as well, did you see him celebrating afterwards? Celebrating, commiserating. There's a picture of him at a strip club possibly, or a nightclub, and he's just got these three women around him. Apparently one of them's a porn star. It's a bit contentious, but he's just loving life. And I seen that after I was already a fan. I was like, mate, this guy's just living his best life.
So Great O'Khan.
Pretty funny.
Living it up. What is next for all these guys, Benny?
Well, FTR.
Let's start with FTR.
Los Superanos are just going to continue on just dominating. Well, you know, Blood and Guts, they joined up with your boy there. And
Danhausen.
Yeah. He's a weird man, but you're a fan, so.
I don't think I'm a fan, but.
I think you said the other week you were a fan.
He's okay. I think we got to have Bucks v. them for all the belts, right?
For all the belts, or do they just do it one by one and then they go 1-1 and then they go for the third?
Four falls match for all the belts.
Something like that. But I just think it's weird because FDR are heels, right?
Yeah.
But they get such big pops and everyone loves them.
I don't think they're heels anymore.
They're the Stone Cold of tag team.
They're not heels anymore. No way.
They're the Attitude Era Stone Cold.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're that bad. They're good guys now. So, I don't know. I'm an FTR fan. I never used to be. I hated them. And they've really turned me. But I think they'll hold the titles for a while. They'll drop one title somewhere.
Yeah, surely they've got to give the AAA ones back at some point.
But it'll be contentious.
Yeah.
They'll be upset about it. And that's how they can probably go back to being heels.
And maybe the Bucks costing them the AAA titles or something. And then maybe costing them the IWGP ones. And
so then they fight for the AEW. Yeah, it makes sense. That makes sense.
We'll see. Moving on, AEW All-Atlantic Championship, Fatal 4-Way, Pac, Miro, Malakai Black, and Clark Connors after Tomohiro Ishii was scrubbed out. A little bit of everything in this match. You know, all these guys are great. I didn't know much about Connors, but
he did look out of place.
He looked out of place, but they gave him a good run in the middle of the match where he looked like he might take it out, and he put Miro through a table.
Yeah, that was good.
But it was Pac in the end, hit the 450 on Black, locked in the Brutalizer on Connors for the win. The Bastard, your new All-Atlantic champion.
What do you think? I'm not a Pac fan at all. So this, like, unfortunately biased for me. I just was like, ugh.
Didn't like the result.
It was a great match. It was a great match. What did you give it?
I gave it a two count. I thought it was a bloody good match. They're all really good. Obviously, we all thought Miro was going to take this out, right? Mm. And to me, I enjoyed the surprise of it because I certainly didn't think Pac was going to win it.
Yeah, I agree. Like, they gave that big build up where Miro was going to do it. You know, he looked like he had it over Pac, and then it was just going to be done. You know, Miro got thrown out, Black came in, had Connors, and then they just did that whole situation, and then Connors taps. But like you said, Connors looked out of place, and then they gave him that, he got his spots in.
Yeah.
And I was like, I started to go, okay. He made it look like it was okay. Obviously, he wasn't meant to be in the match. So
the crowd got behind him a little bit too.
They did. They started to rally. It was good. But for me, all I could think about the whole time through the match was the Black and Miro. Just that there's something there. There's something there. I know they're both heels, but there's just something there. The way those two went at it, I was like, wow, this is like money.
Is that what you think is next for Miro?
Yeah, I think.
And Alistair Black.
Yeah, there's something there. That's money for me.
Yeah.
Or that's all I could think about. Obviously, do they fight? Do they become number one contenders for that title? But just for me, that's all I could think about. And Park, obviously, he'll just fight whoever's up next, you know.
Well, do you think we're done with this whole Death Triangle and House of Black? I feel like it's petered out now, right?
Well, I think so, considering, you know, Park won, Black, you know, he got the win where he did, but he didn't get it over Alistair.
Yeah.
And it's still there in the background.
Yeah.
Because he didn't pin Alistair or whatever else. But if he had pinned Alistair, Alistair could have come back and been like, oh, will you pin me or whatever else. So the two strongest people in the match didn't take the loss.
Yeah.
Miro and Black didn't take the loss. Connors had to take the loss there. Pac won. He wasn't the strongest in the match.
And Miro did get the spray in the face.
He did, yeah.
So, I think that's where it's going to. That'll be fun to watch. Yeah. We then had the trios match, the Young Bucks and Bullet Club's El Fantasmo, with Hikaru by their side against Sting, Darby Allin, and Shingo Takagi. This was the epitome of a fun match, you know. Things kicked off with Sting jumping off the entrance set onto the Bucks, Fantasmo, and Hikaru. Sting, like, you're 60, mate.
The lights go out. Sting doesn't come out. The Bucks come out, you think they've attacked Sting backstage.
That's exactly what I thought.
Everyone's like, they've attacked Sting backstage. You're expecting them to come out, laugh it off, look at the back, like look at the Titan. Well, not Titantron, but you know what I mean? Like, let's look. Sting's backstage beaten up. Goes black again. You see the silhouette. Sting jumps off. What is 65 or something?
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. That was crazy. Crazy. He almost missed. He almost missed, just quietly.
Yeah, he can jump off entrance features, and also he won't succumb to nipple twisters. We found out in this match. So Fantasmo trying to give Sting a nipple twister. Sting ended up giving him one, which is kind of funny stuff. Bucks are always good, throw plenty of super kicks around, but we ended up Shingo pinning El Fantasmo for the win, and Bullet Club going down.
You're not going to like me here. I only gave this a one count.
Okay. Like
it just didn't grab me. It started so well, but it just didn't grab me. I think it was too much Gaga, but not Gaga, if that makes sense. Tried the Gaga, but that just didn't work. Like, the Bucks do so good. Darby, I can't get around Darby. I don't know what it is. I'm sorry. I've gone off him. He tried for, three or four coffin drops in the match. Like, they just, it's not a great move. Like, it's, when you do it off something big and it lands one time, it's great. You try it so many times in a match, it just, for me, felt flat. And I don't know, I just went off it. So it just didn't grab me, and I only gave it a one count. But each to their own.
I gave it a two. I thought it was a little bit above average, which for the Bucks is below average.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a good match with some fun spots. What do you think's next for the Bucks, Benny?
Well, with Adam Cole injured, I guess they're going to have to pick up some slack there. Obviously, Red Dragon's injured as well. So, you know, the Bucks are going to have to sort of, the whole elite style of things there, they need to pick up some stuff.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to push probably for FTR, I guess.
Yeah.
Who else do they go for, you know?
That's my thoughts, though.
Jurassic Express aren't together. Like, it's like all the big tag teams at the moment are sort of fallen by the wayside, which is funny because AEW is known for so many big tag teams.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to have to really carry the tag team division at the moment.
Yeah, injuries are really hurting AEW at the moment. And I was thinking for Darby and Sting, I mean, their next thing's kind of got to be with Red Dragon as well. So, you know, they might be waiting in the wings for a little while too.
Darby will just get it. Well, you know, as you just said, Darby was second last in the Rumble. So, I mean, does he try and push for something or say that he gets, I don't know. It's one of those.
Does he kind of fulfill this, like, this Jeff Hardy role, right? That, like, where he never really, you know, Jeff Hardy was in WWE for so long before he got that world title. Like, does he just kind of sit in that role for years and years?
Can't ever see him getting it, to be honest. The only thing that I can think is when they make Sting turn on him or him turn on Sting. And
I mean, it doesn't feel like that's going to happen anytime soon. Will happen eventually, but...
But Sting's getting old, man. Like, they can't keep going, you know? So does he try and do does he just start this little changing his makeup and thing to look a bit more like Sting, and then Sting gets jealous, turns on... Like, if there's going to be a turn, I feel like Sting turning on him would be way better than anything else.
Yeah, maybe...
Biggest shock in the world.
Maybe Darby brings in Vampiro to be his new mentor. Yeah.
There we go.
We now have the AEW Women's World Championship match, Thunder Rosa and Toni Storm. Really good match from these girls. Benny didn't like it. Handshakes at the start and end. Rosa ended up using one of Dustin Rhodes' signature suplexes, the Final Reckoning, for the win. I thought they both looked crisp. Storm will get her hands on a title eventually. I gave it a 2 count.
Yeah, I gave it a 1 count. It was standard. It was okay. It was good, but it was nothing special.
Yeah.
You know, Tony got her stuff in. Thunder put her over for a little bit, and then you always knew she was going to win.
I think I'm working from, like, 1.5 is like an average match, so I give it an extra 50%. Half. I thought it was above average.
Yeah. It was my popcorn match. There's always one, and I always talk about it.
Yeah.
It was a popcorn match.
Here's what I can't get around. Both of them being baby faces, like, I felt like there's no heat in the match. Yeah. I like the pairing, but one of them needs to turn into to be a badass. I can't see that being Toni Storm. To be honest, I think Thunder might be a more interesting character if she just turns heel.
Well, there's all this talk backstage that Thunder is hard to work with and she's like, she's stiff and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, that just would work, play into it, steer into the skin and just be that person, you know, go strong style and do it. If that's all the talk backstage and that's what everybody's reading in the dirt sheets and everything else, steer into the skin, let's go, be strong style and just be evil.
Yeah.
And then Toni Storm can play that complete baby face, good girl that she doesn't want to be because she thinks she's hard. Does that make sense? Like, yeah. She comes out like all angry and whatever else, but you know she's not that person.
No.
So, I mean, it was standard. It was nothing special. And for me, being the women's title match, it lost half a count for me because it wasn't anything special. Being a title match.
Yeah, fair enough. Speaking of special, let's move on to the IWGP United States Championship match. Will Ospreay, Orange Cassidy. Now, this one's kind of hard to explain how the match went. Like, so many great spots. Oh. Each of these guys hit the other with their best moves, kicked out of plenty. Cassidy kicked out of the blade back elbow from Ospreay. Ospreay then hit the Stormbreaker for the win. After the match, United Empire took to the ring, as did Roppongi Vice. And then that's when Shibata made his return to wrestling. Cleared house, got a gift of OC sunglasses. Benny, I'm going to go first here.
Please do. Please do, because I know you've done it.
I gave this a 3 count. I cannot rave enough about this match. We know how Ospreay is a show stealer. We know that.
100%.
But this match showed how absolutely top-notch Freshly Squeezed is while keeping up a gimmick.
Yeah.
There you go. That's my rave done.
Is that it?
Loved it. Absolutely loved every second of it.
Mate, I thought it was absolutely brilliant. The false finishes, Ospreay's facials whenever OC would kick out and stuff like that. Like, he just played that brilliant. The psychology in the match was so good. So good. And it told such an amazing story from start to finish.
Absolutely.
And it blew me away. I wanted to give it a three count, but I've never given anything on this podcast a three count, and I don't think I ever can. So I'm giving it a 2 7/8.
2 7/8. Okay.
I'm talking like less than a centimeter away from the three count. It was absolutely brilliant.
It was fantastic. And to steal a page out of Jericho's book, that's why I'm giving this match Dylan's dopest match of the night.
I think Shibata coming out was so good as well, though. Like,
and the crowd popped so hard.
So hard. Like, did you see the crowd? They just went crazy. And then obviously, you know, OC putting the glasses on him and just doing the, like, that was, it was, it's not even a thumbs up. It's like a, it's like, yeah, it's just a, yeah, whatever.
Just the thumbs whatever there.
It was brilliant. It was so good.
Yeah, absolutely loved it. That's why I'm rocking the Orange Cassidy today.
Everyone's raving about it. It's crazy.
Amazing. I think he just took so many steps up. Osprey is obviously amazing, but Orange Cassidy really stepped it up for that one.
The one thing that got me was that I know they were going to the skybox and showing Juice Robinson and everything else, but like for Juice Robinson to not get involved at the end, I thought that could have been something they could have done just so they can run with a storyline either way or whatever else.
Absolutely.
But it didn't need it in any way. Did not need it, obviously.
No.
But just, you know, if Juice had to hit the ring when Shibata hit the ring with OC and Ospreay in there, there could have been a possible four-way match in the future that they could have looked at or something like that, you know?
It's because it seemed like when they set this match up, it was a very odd pairing. Like, okay, Ospreay's taking on Cassidy?
Didn't make sense.
And now I'm so glad they did.
Yeah, OC went straight up, and we all know you're a fan of the OC and not just the shirt and the wrestler. So, I mean, we're going back 20 years there, but yeah. Okay.
Great TV show. Great TV show. Good stuff. And he debuted with some new music on Dynamite. Maybe he's turning a new leaf. It looks like him and best friends are going to feud with American Top Team. So, should be some interesting stuff there from Orange Cassidy.
And Ospreay goes on to fight Juice.
Yeah, in New Japan. Yeah. We assume that's what'll happen. Good stuff there. We then move on to the surprise entrant, Zack Sabre Jr. against Claudio Castagnoli. What a pop for Cesaro!
But we knew it, did we not?
We did. I mean, he was obviously
85% chance of it being him.
He was the one who everyone thought it was going to be. Honestly. I thought Gargano would have got maybe just as big a pop. If it was Gresham, I don't think it would have been as big. It had to be someone big. The thing that annoyed me a little, whoever the director of the cameras was, when his music hit, I could see they were on a crowd shot.
Yeah.
But obviously we don't know what his music is, right? So exactly at home, we need to see the ramp and the Titantron, the big screens.
Exactly what I was thinking.
So I was a little disappointed in that because I couldn't pop as hard as everyone who was in the building.
Yeah.
But yeah, certainly popped. I love the new music too. Cracker of a match, right? The buzz from his return. Fantastic. Zack Sabre. I haven't seen much of him, to be honest. I've seen a few things here and there, but man, what an amazing wrestler. Like,
he's an athlete.
He's an absolute athlete. And, you know, there's a reason why he's won the Bryan Danielson Award for years and years and years. We ended up getting Claudio got the win after a Ricola bomb. What'd you think of this one, Benny?
Man, I was disappointed. It was a great match. It was a great match. I know it was. And I gave it a two count, right? And I know you're probably going to give it a 2 3/4 or something stupid like that. But I just wasn't invested as much as I probably should have been. I think it was so scripted it was going to be Claudio. And the finish was terrible. You know, it just felt so flat. The finish felt so flat. And I don't think Zach should have lost.
I mean, as I mentioned on the pod, I didn't think Zach was going to lose. I thought he's got to win this. They've got to build up this Bryan Danielson thing. But you know what?
No.
I gave it a three count.
Two in one pay-per-view.
Two two in one.
So far,
Zack Sabre Jr. is incredible. I loved everything he did. Claudio looks like he hasn't missed a beat. He looks bigger than he used to.
Did he throw anything other than an uppercut, European uppercut?
He didn't need to. He didn't need to. I was so pumped to see him, and he looks so good. Just uppercut, uppercut, swing, swing.
Sabre I love arguing with you. I love it.
Sabre did the rest of the work. I thought it was look, it's not a five-star Dave Meltzer masterclass, but for entertainment purposes and the wrestling in the ring.
No.
Yep.
Keep going. I'm just gonna say no over top of you. No. You're entitled to your opinion and I don't agree with it. So that's all right. But come on, man. Surely he's got something more than an uppercut. He runs in, he kicks him, and then he goes for the neutralizer straight away. Like I thought,
yeah, because
I honestly thought that was going to be the three count. And that's how it was going to win. I thought that was going to be the end of the match.
So did I. And I was like, brilliant.
Oh my God.
I thought that was brilliant that they knew everyone was going to think that was going to be a three count. He's come in and he's beaten him straight away. And then he kicked out and we're like, oh shit.
Thank God. But look, no. It was a great match. I do agree. And everything Zach did was amazing. And he carried the match. But Claudio all he throws is those European uppercuts that are barely like a piece of fat to the pectoral muscle. Like, come on. Like, oh, I sell it so well. I just.
Benny the Cesaro hater.
I've always loved Cesaro. I hate Claudio. I love Cesaro. I was part of the Cesaro section. I'm off Claudio. I get where you're coming from. I do understand where you're coming from. I'm just
maybe it was from, you know, a bit of the excitement, you know, when he had those matches with Rollins and he really looked like, you know, he was going to take a title home at one point. He was up there with the best in the world at that point. And he just to see him back was so exciting for me. Anyway, I gave it a three count. I loved every second of that match too. He's now part of the Blackpool Combat Club. Couldn't be a better fit for him. He ended up, spoiler alert, not really because it's already happened, but he won the Blood and Guts match on Dynamite for them. I'm not sure where he goes as a singles competitor, but he looks fantastic, and I'm excited to see what TK does with him.
Same. I the whole Blood and Guts, we'll probably talk about it quickly afterwards, but... I just don't know. It felt out of place. He felt out of place without Daniel Bryan there. Like, I feel like Daniel Bryan should have introduced him even. for the match, he was handpicked by him, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Shouldn't the Daniel Bryan come out and introduced him or something? I don't know. Just a little bit more. I don't know. It fell flat for me and I just wasn't invested. It was a great match, but it just lost points for me just because of that.
So just an FYI, he was already under contract by AEW. He was going to appear at the Ring of Honor, next Ring of Honor pay-per-view as a surprise. But due to Danielson's injury, they moved it forward a little bit. So he's now AEW, not Ring of Honor. So there you go.
There we go.
We then move on to the Fatal 4-Way IWGP World Championship match. Jay White, Kazuchika Okada, Adam Cole, Hangman Adam Page. So much energy around this one. The crowd was chanting holy shit before the match even begun. And it was a belter of a match. Perfect heel stuff from White and Cole. Great stuff face from Okada and Hangman. It did end abruptly, though. White hit Okada with a Blade Runner and then pinned Cole, who had collapsed earlier because he'd been concussed earlier in the match. So the ending was a little bit of a schmoz. Jay White did not look happy at it at the end of it.
He was furious.
He was not happy. You know, the most unhappy someone who's just retained their championship can look.
I think he was just furious about, because obviously he was always meant to pin Cole for the win.
Yeah.
But he couldn't do it the way he wanted to do it. So that's why he was furious.
And it almost looked like Cole tried to kick out as well, you know.
Afterwards, I think muscle memory, you know, wrestler instinct stuff kind of thing. I thought it was a great match, especially the whole, you know, the whole old Bullet Club dynamic that they were doing where at the beginning, Cole was directing traffic, you know, and White was like, yeah, okay. And then Sling, he just started directing traffic. And then all of a sudden Cole turns,
yeah.
You know, and the commentator set it up perfect. Even just before it happened, it was like, who's going to turn on who. And as they said that, bang.
Who's the bigger heel?
But you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of Bobby the Brain Heenan going, is he the third man? Is he the third man? But when NWO happened with Hulk, because he said it like just before it happened. And it was like, okay, yeah, we all know Cole's about to do that.
Yeah.
And then it just it just broke down. And then obviously, you know, you had Okada and Hangman shook their hands, and then they just went, all right, let's go at it. And then they just went at it as well.
Yeah.
They all got their licks in. It was fun.
What did you rate it, Benny?
I gave it a 2.5 count, personally. And I almost took a little bit off because of the finish, but then reading that it was a legit injury, concussion, it just schmozzed it, as you said.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would have liked to have seen what the finish could have been. Like, the finish might have been amazing, but, you know, we don't know. So I still gave it a 2.5 count. It was a great match. I thought Carter probably didn't get in as much as what I thought he would.
If that he's so sense. Over though, he's so over.
Oh, they love him. They love him, but he didn't have to do much.
No,
but he just didn't get in a few extra things that he didn't look like that. You know, Meltzer 5-star wrestler that everybody talks about. He just sort of did what we needed to do in the match.
Yeah,
which I guess it's Forbidden Door. They needed to bring someone else in. And
it's hard in a 4-way match too to get all the spots in, but. Well, Benny, I gave it a 2.5 count.
Happy for a second there, Dill. I was like, not again.
I agree with you. No, I kind of lost the half count because of the ending. I would love to know what the planned finish was.
Because
if they had pulled that off, I guarantee you I would have been putting the three fingers up.
Yeah, I probably would have too.
The ending dropped it down for me. Cole needs to get healthy. Hangman, what do you think would they do with Hangman now?
He's so flat at the moment. He's just so on the downward spiral at the moment. I just don't know where it goes from here.
I was looking through the roster thinking, like, what legit heels could he have some sort of beef with? I thought Miro, but then, you know, Miro's got the thing with Malakai Black and Sammy, you think?
I'm going Sammy.
Okay.
I don't know why. I just feel like him and Sammy will have a great match.
Yeah.
I love Sammy. Sammy's a freak.
This Sammy Ty Conti, like, evil Triple H-y Stephanie McMahon kind of seeming thing they've got going, loving it.
But with Jericho as well leading the way and all that kind of stuff, like, I love it as well. I think Hangman and Sammy could have a really good match.
Absolutely. Sammy can have great matches with anyone.
But the old Perry Saturn with a broomstick? Or?
That's right. All right, Benny, let's get into the main event, the AEW Interim World Title match, Moxley against Tanahashi. You know, from what we'd seen earlier, it was kind of a steady pace match compared to a lot of the rest of them, but there was plenty in it. You know, Mox got opened up pretty badly at one point. Tanahashi had the upper hand. Things started to swing Mox's way again. Hit the paradigm shift, but Tana kicked out. Then Mox hit a Death Valley DDT for the win. Nice moment where they shook hands after the match, which was all ruined by Jericho and his cronies hitting the ring and taking both men out, and then it turned into chaos as everyone else ran out to get in the brawl.
Yeah. And then obviously they all stood. Yeah, yeah. I think that was not needed.
No.
I don't think it was needed.
I gave the match a 2.5. I thought it would have been really good, but the brawl at the end kind of marred it. And the other thing that got me was, I mean, it seemed obvious that Mox bladed when he was on the outside, and I don't think he needed to.
100%. And you know what's funny? There was a moment in the match where he hit Tanner with something, and it looked like he handed him the blade.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly thought he handed, and I was like, if Tanahashi right now comes up with blood, then I'm done. Because it was so open what it looked like he was. But he was obviously just checking on him because he hit him pretty hard. But I thought he was handing him the blade. And I was like, if he blades as well, because it was a blatant blade, you know what I mean? Like, and we all love color, don't get me wrong. And it's
got to be done right. And I thought it didn't need it.
Didn't need it where it was, didn't need it.
Yeah.
The match probably needed a color, but it didn't need it where it happened, I don't
know. It seemed like nothing really, like, what did he get, headbutted or something? And
the commentator said it was when he kicked him, but, like, 4 minutes earlier.
Yeah.
But we hadn't seen that. Like, it just seemed so off. And it just, I think it marred it a little bit.
It did
mar it a little bit. The schmoz at the end with all that stuff, I think they could have just done that. I know we were going into Blood and Guts, right? So they were setting up for that. But what they could have done was had a Mox Tanahashi shake hands at the beginning, before, at the beginning of the Blood and Guts thing.
Yeah.
And then everything happens there. They all get split up and then they all come in at the end and then fight Blood and Guts.
Yeah.
Rather than having it at the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I agree. Makes sense. I get they were leading into it, but it just kind of took the sparkle off what was an awesome pay-per-view.
Yeah, yeah. I gave it a 2.5 count as well, though. Mox was never losing. We knew that. But Tanahashi turned back the clock, really. Like, he hit, like, you know, aces high from the top rope on the outside and, like...
Yeah.
He was not caring. He was high fly. He just didn't care. Like,
there were a couple of little moments where he didn't look that steady on the top rope. And I was like, please, please don't fall. Like,
and then
he picks himself up and he was good. But
I did notice that. But no. I thought it was a great match.
Good way to end the pay-per-view. Obviously, Mox now has Brody King for the title. So that should be interesting. We'll touch on Blood and Guts. What did you think?
I liked it, but I didn't like it. I just thought it was slow. It went for so long.
Yeah, it was a long match.
It was so long, man.
Although I feel like the count picked up after like one or two people were in.
Yeah. But the thing for me, right, was, you know, we had Eddie, Jericho, and Claudio up on top. But the thing was, after obviously Sammy went off the top, which, you know, it fully looked like Sammy just did a swanton off the top.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Eddie threw him, but he jumped and then just like, oh, swanton, you beauty, you know, like, but it was still a great bump. It was a great bump. It was a great moment, great spot. But, you know, everybody was on the ring or in the ring on the inside or whatever else. But then as soon as the match was over, Mox was like up in, Mox and Yuta were up in the ring and they were fine.
Yeah.
Like, I just, you know.
Yeah,
like,
everyone was down for so long.
But like, all of the Jericho Appreciation Society were like all done. Let's have
a nap for 20 minutes.
But then all of a sudden everyone was fine. But like, it was a brutal match. Don't get me wrong. Mox was going crazy with that fork. They pulled the glass out.
Yeah.
Jericho, when he was up on the top, he couldn't walk on the top because he had that many tacks and he's
too slippery.
He was sliding.
Yeah.
So he had to go around on his knees. Like that was not, like, nobody knew that was going to happen. So
that ad lib there. The swing on top of the on top of the cage, Cesaro, Claudio doing the swing on Jericho. Jericho came out and said on Insta, I saw probably the scariest spot he's ever done in his life.
Yeah, I agree. That was crazy.
You know, one wrong move and, that could be. But, I mean, he looked like he had him pretty solidly, the old Claudio.
Yeah.
That was interesting to see. But I've got a hot take for you, Benny.
Yeah.
I'm not down with Eddie Kingston.
Nah, well, I've been saying this for how long? Are you finally coming to the dark side?
Well, I mean, I've never loved him, but now I'm just kind of over it.
Yeah.
The shtick, like,
is just done.
He just hates everyone and he's just a miserable fuck.
Hey, here we are. Children.
Sorry, kids.
But like, they hyped up how much Claudio and him hate each other.
Yeah.
And then they did the whole Claudio gets the win. Eddie's looking at him, but then they're all hugging afterwards and whatever.
Yeah, like plenty of fist bumps. It looked like Claudio was trying to give way too many hugs and fist bumps to everyone, and a lot of them just weren't really interested. Like, he was trying to help Mox up the thing, and Mox is like, no, I don't need your help, buddy. Like,
well, the funniest part for me in the match was when Ruby Soho comes out after, you know, Tay Conti opens up the cage, and then all you hear the commentator is it's Ruby Riott. It's Ruby. I mean, Soho. It's Ruby Soho. I was like, they stuffed up there.
Well, I like how JR called him Cesaro at one point too.
Yeah,
during Blood and Guts.
They can't help it.
You've got to have a JR slip. But that whole Ruby Soho thing, like, she was in like the video package, like pumping it up.
She's
like,
mates. She's great mates with Eddie. And I'm like, I was like, what?
Where did this come from? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, disappointing. Long match. It was fun. It was brutal. Yeah. It was good, but it was just too long.
Yeah.
It's War Games, but like on, I don't know. It just wasn't War Games, you know? Yeah.
War Games with thumbtacks. Yeah. So, yes, there we have it. Blood and Guts. Very interesting. But, yeah, great pay-per-view all up. Now, let's move into the next pay-per-view, Benny.
Let me flip it over.
Flip it over. We are done with AEW for the time being. Switch off if you are not a WWE fan. We've already got
switch
you
off.
We've already got your click anyway. It's fine. All right, let's move on to Money in the Bank. Benny, it's your favorite part of the show where I ask you some interesting questions as to what is happening with this pay-per-view. Now, this is the 13th installment of the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. I know you are not the biggest fan of this pay-per-view or Hell in a Cell. You think the matches should be their own thing, not a pay-per-view.
I do.
I'm assuming you watched last week. I didn't get into the history of Forbidden Door because there is none, but I talked about the United Center.
Yes.
So I thought, hey, this week, let's talk about the MGM Grand Garden Arena.
Mm-hmm.
One of your favorite arenas, I'm sure. How many pay-per-views has WWE held there before?
7.
The answer is 0. This is the first time ever.
I just wanted to throw out a quick answer.
That was a tough one. I knew you weren't getting it. You might have a shot at this one.
Got it.
From 1996 to 2000, the MGM Grand Garden Arena hosted a WCW pay-per-view every year. What pay-per-view was it?
What month was it in?
Well, that'll give it away. Late October.
Rogue Wild?
Halloween Havoc.
Oh, Halloween Havoc, of course.
Okay, let's get to the actual Money in the Bank match. Now, who held the contract for the longest time before cashing in?
That is a good one.
I'll give you... there's... A woman has held it the longest, but yeah. I'll let you answer the men's if you get that one too.
I'm going to say... I want to say CM Punk.
No. The answer is Carmella held the contract for the longest. She held it for 287 days.
Yeah, right.
For the men, it's Edge at 280.
There you go.
Who's held it for the shortest amount of time?
Well, there's a few, obviously, because there's been a few cash-ins on the same night.
Yeah, but this one's in minutes.
Bailey.
Close. It was Kane.
Ah, yes.
Kane held it for 49 minutes before the cash-in. How many same-night cash-ins have we had?
3.
We've had
four.
Kane, Alexa Bliss, Bailey, yeah, and Dean Ambrose.
I forgot about Alexa.
I'm confident you'll get this one. How many people have won the match but lost the contract before cashing in?
Won the match but lost the contract.
They won Money in the Bank, but before being able to cash in the contract, they lost the contract to someone else.
Now you're killing me. One.
We've got two.
Who was the second one?
Otis lost it to The Miz.
Yeah. Who was the second one?
The second one was Mr. Kennedy.
You're killing me, Dylan.
Sorry, Benny. How many unsuccessful women's cash-ins have we had?
Women's cash-ins?
Yeah.
One.
Big meal of the donut for that one.
Now, hang on a second. It's a caveat on that one. Oh. Somebody won the title without actually cashing it in, but they won. Asuka got the title, but she didn't cash it in.
Yeah, well, she had to cash in to get the title.
Okay.
I'll give it to you.
I thought you were trying to trick me, so I was a bit like...
I'll give it to you. So if you're a woman and you've won it, it's a great percentage.
So how many men's unsuccessful cash-ins has there been?
I'm going to say, I was reading it today. I should remember it. I think there's been 3. I want to say 3. Corbin, Cena. Who's the other one? This is going to be great fun for viewers.
Nah.
I can't remember.
Well, Braun.
And Braun Braun's was he didn't win the title, so yeah.
And Cena technically won, but he didn't win the title.
He didn't win the title, yeah.
There you go.
So there you go. Well
I
done.
I did study a couple of questions, but you didn't ask me the ones I wanted. So.
You've stumped me on that one, Benny. Good job. Let's move into the card, Ben. US Championship match, Theory and Bobby Lashley. Theory refused to give Lashley a title shot. Then he lost in a pose down. Lashley ended up beating Gable, Otis, and Theory in a gauntlet match to win his way to the title. Got Theory at $1.52, Lashley at $2.40.
I'm with the money.
Taking Theory.
Mate, I'm with the money. Theory here. Does Cena get involved? Do they set it up yet, or do they wait? I just think there's Schmoz Fest somewhere. It'll be a DQ of some sort, and Theory holds the title.
I'm going the upset here. Now, with a caveat, look, I know that Theory's Vince's guy, right? And Vince is still making the decisions in creative.
Oh, are you allowed to be Vince's guy at the moment?
But, yeah, not a great position for Theory to be in right now. I can't see any way Theory leaves with the title unless he gets himself DQ'd, which is how I see it going. Lashley DQ win. Boo. Yeah. It'll be a boo moment, but...
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Theory still retains the title. That's what I meant.
But he doesn't win the match.
True. Okay, well, I just said that, though. I said it'll be a DQ.
Yeah, okay. I feel you.
I get what you're saying.
But so there's money. There's money to be made, you know. $2.40, a DQ win. That still counts as a win.
Does that count?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's money then. Yeah. Get on the DQ.
That's money. Thanks, sports.
Yeah, responsibly.
That's absolutely. I got the Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship match, the Usos, Street Profits. Now, the Profits have, there we go, one and done. The Profits have had the Usos' number as of late. They beat them in a contender shot. Dawkins and Ford have both notched wins against Jey Uso the past 2 weeks. But we've still got the Usos at $1.20 and the Profits at $4.
Should be $1.01.
We the ones.
We are one and done. We the ones.
Usos for me. All those wins for the Profits just like... They just lead you to absolutely believe that the Usos are going to win. Hopefully, we see something more out of this that may lead us to believe the Profits might take them at some point.
I personally think that you're going to see a massive thing from Montez. And he's just going to show how much more dominant he is that possibly he can go solo.
Right. Okay. So you might think
Montez has got something solo going on for himself. He is a beast in my eyes.
Might think the Profits are, you know, on the way out.
They're not on the way out, but
I just a New Day style. Let's...
Yeah. I think Montez is going to get a little run as a solo.
Okay. But yeah, we obviously don't see the Usos losing the belts.
Did you? There was one little Corey Graves moment in the tag match on Raw though the other day, and I've got what he said. He turned around and he goes, I'd like to be able to see what these guys could do through the door. He was clearly having a little shot at AEW there, I think.
Well, did you see FTR's social post the other day? They put themselves with all the belts and they said, well, I guess we the ones, Oos.
There you go. There you go. So hang on. You never know.
Oh, I love it. Juicy. Twitter war. Let's bring it on.
Well, speaking of Juice Robinson as well, you didn't mention it last week. Him and Tony Storm got married.
Ah, well, there you go. Congratulations.
There you go.
Gotta love all these.
Just most random fact. There you go.
You gotta love all these couples. You know, we've got Cassie Lee, former of the Iconics. She's with Sean Spears. Yeah, it's
got Miro and
Miro and Lana. Brilliant stuff. Lana's OnlyFans is doing pretty well, apparently. Speaking of OnlyFans. We've got the SmackDown Women's Championship match.
No, I'm just kidding.
SmackDown Women's Championship match. Ronda Rousey and Natalya.
This has been juicy.
Rousey took a little shot at Natalya for being on her sister's OnlyFans. But Natalya won a six-pack challenge to earn herself a title shot. Came out on SmackDown last week impersonating Ronda Rousey. Completely cram.
Dressed to a T.
There you go. Had the pram and everything, prompted Rousey to come out. You know, held some interesting insults about changing her body to live up to unrealistic beauty standards. That was a nasty one there from Ronda. And then Ronda whooped her. We got Ronda at $1.10, Natalya at $6.
What do you got? You're on the Winks odds?
Yeah, I'm on the Winks odds. She's only just won it. And I don't see her losing it until someone cashes in on her.
Hey, on the night?
No, I feel like the ladder matches are going to be at the end of the night. So
they always do one after, like they do one at the beginning and then one last.
Yeah.
And if you look at this, if you look at this card, it's very women dominated. Like, you know, you've got two women's matches on this card plus the women's ladder match. So, yep. I mean, it would be the time to do it if you're going to do it. So
you never know. You never know.
I'm with you though. Rousey, $1.10, gamble responsibly. Rousey's a little bit boring for me at the moment as well, though. Like, all of that stuff was fun, but it's awkward.
Yeah.
And a bit boring. There's no levels to it.
They're trying to spice it up, but they're not doing it quite the right way.
Yeah. She's always got the same, just that she's meant to be a baby, but she's just got that same angry look. It just doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
She'll win easy. Natalia.
Put your house on it.
Doing her job.
Doing what she does best and making other people look good. all right. We have the Raw Women's Championship match. Bianca Belair and Carmella. After Rhea Ripley was ruled out due to injury, Carmella won a fatal five-way to earn her shot. Same odds here. We've got Belair at $1.10, Carmella at $6, and I'm taking the $1.10 all day.
I've literally written here, ha, ha, ha. As in, like, what is this match? Obviously, they want the bigger names in the women's ladder match, so they've gone and done this. But then I've written in brackets, I've written swerve, question mark.
Well,
Could they?
With Carmella?
I don't know.
See, if Ripley was in this match, I think I might have almost tipped the upset.
But that wouldn't be a swerve. Like, that'd be a win.
That'd be an upset, but not a swerve.
This would just be like a complete swerve from WWE just to screw with our heads. It's not going to happen, but I've just written it here. Just in case if it does happen, I've just thrown it out there for everybody.
Here's how it could happen. Becky Lynch comes and takes Bianca Belair out. Carmella gets the pin. New women's champion.
Especially if the women's match is before the title match. And yeah. Like Becky's just upset and angry. But anyway, I've just thrown it in there for a bit of fun. Belair for me still, $1.10.
There are a lot of fun things WWE could do with this, which is why I don't think any of them are going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
We've next got the women's Money in the Bank ladder match. Lacey Evans, Liv Morgan, Alexa Bliss, Raquel Rodriguez, Asuka, Shotzi, and Becky Lynch. I'll go through all these names again with the odds. We've got Lynch at $1.83, Bliss and Morgan even second at $3.50, Lacey Evans at $8, Asuka at $10, Rodriguez $11. No one believes Shotzi has a chance at $26. What do you think with this one, Benny?
Well, you are a Liv Mark, so you're going to $3, was it?
$3.50. It's good money.
$3.50. I'm where the money is, Lynch. But I'm gonna have a little side wager on Raquel.
Okay. Yeah. Taking the $11. All right.
Yeah. I'm just gonna have a Stuart Diver on her and see how we go.
All right. Yeah. Now look, I am torn with this one. You know, I'm a Liv Mark, but I can absolutely see Lynch winning and cashing in on Rousey.
Yeah.
This is what I think is gonna happen.
Title SummerSlam.
Or I can see Morgan holding it for a long time. And just kind of waiting till other things happen. But, I mean, I could also see Lynch getting a shot at Rousey without having to win the Money in the Bank match. So I'm going to go with Liv tentatively.
Okay, yeah, a little caveat.
If
Lynch does cash in on Rousey, is it title SummerSlam? Her and Belair?
Yeah, possibly. Let's unify everything.
Considering last year's SummerSlam was when Becky beat Belair in 26 seconds.
Yep.
You know, we have title versus title at SummerSlam.
Where your head's at there, Benny, which is why I don't think they're going to do it.
shutting me down.
Lastly, we've got the men's Money in the Bank ladder match. Seth Rollins, Sheamus, Drew McIntyre, Omos, Sami Zayn, Riddle, and TBA. We've got Rollins at $1.57 as favorite. Drew at $2.75. Riddle $3.50, Zayn $8.50, mystery opponent $11 ahead of Omos at $15 and Sheamus at $21. Now, I did think when I saw all these odds, I was like, okay, Rollins, I'll take the money here. How fun would it be to see Rollins have the case again? Then how fun would it be to see, you know, the power couple both have the case, Rollins and Lynch? But I'm going to take Drew. I think this was the most boring thing I could think of. So I'm going to take Drew and say he uses it to challenge the champion at Clash of the Castle.
You know where my money's at?
Omos at 15.
Oh, boom, baby. I'm kidding. I've personally got a little question mark underneath Riddle. I think he'll be the star of the match. I think he'll really show off in the match. We all know what Seth can do, but I've also gone with Drew. Clash of the Castle, it's got to happen.
Yeah.
It won't be one of those cash-ins. It'll be like, I'm calling you out to use my briefcase at Clash in the Castle.
Exactly, yeah. So let's I want to be in the main event.
It's in the UK. Let's do it. I'm in the main event. Let's go. So yeah. Right. I think that's what happens.
I'm feeling you, Benny.
And you know what? It already feels like a boring pay-per-view.
Yeah. I mean, compared to what we've just had.
We just spoke about it for 45 minutes about such an amazing pay-per-view, and then we've just gone through Money in the Bank preview in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's disappointing.
Hey, so, we were surprised at Hell in a Cell. Maybe we'll be pleasantly surprised here.
Do me proud, WWE. Give us some swerves. Do something different. Like Dylan said, hey, it's the most boring thing you can do, so it'll happen.
Yeah.
But let's not do it. Let's have some fun.
Mix it up. Mix it up. Come on, Triple H. WWE, get in there.
Let's do it.
All right. Benny, it is time for the three-count draft. You know,
got the number one pick.
What better time to do the best Money in the Bank cash-ins? I get to draft first this week. You know, we both obviously have a 101 here, which is, you know, the pretty obvious pick. Where it's going to get interesting is the rest of the draft. Because there are some great cash-ins. There are some absolutely great cash-ins. But, you know, I'll get us rolling and I'll take the obvious 101. Seth Rollins, WrestleMania 31, 2015, Reigns and Lesnar, after losing to Orton earlier in the night, does the 75-mile run down the...
How big was that? Ramp. The best part about that was, for me, was the fact that Seth took one of the best RKOs ever in my eyes earlier in the night when he went for the curb stomp and Randy gave him the RKO.
Absolutely.
That's
probably the best ever.
That's my, in my visual, all I can think about is Seth going for the curb stomp, getting the RKO, and then at the end of the night, he's doing the belt swing, winning the title. I'm like, what the hell happened?
And just that crowd pop for when his music hit.
Oh, yeah.
I guess no one thought that's when it was going to happen, you know, main event of WrestleMania.
No, because that's the biggest one, yeah.
And the crowd popped so hard. That was brilliant. All right, Betty.
Here's
where it gets interesting. Your number one pick. Hit me.
I've gone with Edge in 2006, New Year's Revolution, after the Elimination Chamber.
The very first Money in the Bank cash. Yeah,
you can't not go past that. It's the number one ever happened. Got to go with that one.
Did the McMahon's music hit? He gave the case to Vince McMahon on John Cena. Yeah, that was good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Now is where it gets interesting, because there are quite a few good ones.
Was that your consensus number two?
It wasn't. No, I've actually got probably about four or five, which I'm just kind of throwing up. I've got two which I'm pouring over now. I am going to take RVD in 2006.
That was my next one.
ECW One Night Stand. He called his shot. You know, it gave birth to the classic, you know, if Cena wins, we riot. Now you see that everywhere. You know, if this one person doesn't show up, we riot. Absolute classic cash in, and you know, the place was pumping. You know, Heyman gave the three count. RVD number two for me.
Completely agree, mate. That was my next one. And I did toss those two up. The next one for me, I actually forgot about. I didn't forget about it. And it's I had a couple more in front of it, and now I've gone and put this one next. It's Ambrose in 2016.
That was my next pick as well.
Yeah, it's obviously...
Bastard.
I think it was the first time he won the title?
I believe so, yeah. He was the only one of the Shield who hadn't won it yet.
But then they all held the title in the same night, so...
All held in one night.
Reigns came in with the title, Seth beat him, And then Ambrose won the Money in the Bank on the night and then cashed it in on Seth after. So all three Shield members won the title on the same, or had the title on the same night.
Yeah.
It was just, and he said he was going to cash it in on no matter who won against his old Shield brethren. That was his first title as well. So that was pretty big. So that's gone. I'm going with Ambrose in 2016.
Great pick. Here's where it gets a little bit tricky.
I hope you don't take my next pick, because
I think I'm going to. I have a feeling this is going to be your next pick. Randy Orton, SummerSlam 2013.
It wasn't actually, but
it wasn't.
To your credit, Triple H and Randy starting the authority angle from that one there.
That's right. We had Triple H giving the pedigree to Daniel Bryan, who just won the title after, you know, months and months and months of trying to get that title. Finally won it. Big payoff. Boom. He's lost the title again.
Had it for 15 seconds or whatever it was, but yeah.
Rose, you know, gave rise to the authority, gave rise to that brilliant WrestleMania match, you know, where he finally won the title again.
It was the first time Triple H had been a heel since 2006 as well. It was the first time that him and Randy had sort of reconnected since Evolution Day. So it made for a real good storyline going forward.
Absolutely. Randy Orton.
And it's set, I think it set up Daniel Bryan brilliantly as well.
Absolutely.
He became the ultimate underdog from there.
Absolutely.
Set up the Yes Movement in a sense as well. That's a massive, massive one. It wasn't my next one, but it's a great pick. My next one, I only picked it for the meme afterwards. and I love the
This was next on my list as well.
I do love the guy. I love the Miz 2010, but the angry little girl face meme, it will forever stick in, you know, WWE lore.
The angry Miz girl.
It's up there with the Taker losing at WrestleMania guy in the front row with the eyes. Like, it's yeah.
And that was the Miz's first WWE championship.
It was, yeah.
And you could just see, like, on his face, like, he's banging the mat, like, you know, after all this shit that I've had to put up with for so long, you know, I've earned my way to this. And you could see it, you know, while that girl was angry, it meant so much to the Miz.
But it was funny. It was funny, so I had to do that one.
Love it.
I feel like you're going to take the next one that I was going to have, because I was going to take this one off you. So that gives it away.
There are some tough ones here. I'm going to take Bayley. I'm going to take Bayley at Money in the Bank 2019.
Over Charlotte.
Charlotte had just won the SmackDown Women's Championship off Becky, and Bayley came and cashed into another giant pop.
Yeah.
The absolute giant pop. You know, it kind of really established her. She started that, you know, from there gave her the confidence to start doing all the kind of quirky stuff she did after the role model and, you know, Ding Dong Hello and all that kind of stuff kind of came from that moment. So Bayley 2019 for my next pick.
Oh, well, I'm going to take one just because I feel like you're going to take it eventually. And just to take it off you, because I know you're a mark, I'm going to take CM Punk in 2008 over Edge.
That was the next on my list.
I couldn't help it. I hate CM Punk, but I just had to do it.
You got me. Yeah, that was his first official night on Raw after being drafted, and his first WWE main title run. So
yeah,
damn, I was hoping you'd slip past that. But I feel like this is where the drop off is now, right?
I think there's one more.
I feel like they're the classics, and now, this is tough. Okay, I'm going to take, I did want to take a funny one, but I'll leave that to honorable mentions. I'm going to take Big E.
Oh, I didn't think you'd take that one.
Big E 2021 on Bobby Lashley.
No.
Celebrations in the ring with the New Day, the first New Day member to win the title. That's my bad. Kofi won the title, but just Big E finally kind of stepping out on his own. Big E 2021.
I'm disappointed because I honestly didn't think you'd take that one. I thought that one had slipped past. I'm going to take one. All right, my last one then will be...
We'll see if you've got... I've got two left on my list. I wonder if you'll have one of these.
Okay, well, I've got two funny ones, but my last one then will be Big E related, essentially. He was there, Dolph Ziggler, 2013 over Del Rio.
Mr. Ziggles. Now, yeah. I saw this on so many lists, like, you know, when I was doing research for this, you know, it was top cashing. On some of the lists, it was number one, top cashing.
I've seen it as number one as well. It's not number one. It's set up, I think where he was in his career and whatever else. I think it just sort of, what was going on, the way they had him all set up and whatever else. I think that's why it sort of got a bit higher.
Yeah. And on Alberto Del Rio, and yeah, it was a big pop at the time too. Huge pop for Dolph Ziggler. Yeah. All right. So I have taken Seth Rollins, WrestleMania 31, RVD One Night Stand, Randy Orton, SummerSlam 2013, Bayley from Money in the Bank 2019, and Big E last year on Raw. Benny's got Edge, the first ever cash-in, News Revolution 2006. Dean Ambrose, Money in the Bank 2016, The Miz, Raw 2010, CM Punk in 2008, and the Dolph Ziggler cash-in on Alberto Del Rio. What do you have as honorable mentions, Benny?
Mate, it's not really an honorable cash-in, essentially. It's just the fact that when Brock had the briefcase around his head and carried on like an idiot. Yeah. That for
briefcase
me
was, Brock.
Yeah. I think that was my honorable mention. And my other one was, did we say best cash-ins, or did we say that to be successful?
They didn't have to be successful.
So my last one was Baron Corbin. Because, you know, he was so confident and just so, and he still had his long hair and he was a bit weird and whatever else. And I'm a Corbin fan, but unsuccessful on Jinder Mahal. I thought that was pretty funny.
Poor old Baron.
They were my two honorable mentions.
I had Daniel Bryan from TLC 2011. Now, it wasn't so much the cashing, because it was after a match between The Big Show and Mark Henry, which wasn't, you know, one of the greatest matches of all time, just two big men smashing each other with chairs. but Daniel Bryan coming in, cashing, it was his first world title. Yeah. So that was a big one. And the other one I had, which I came across and I'd almost forgotten about, Jack Swagger. And because I just watched Blood and Guts, Jack Swagger on Chris Jericho.
Yeah, it was funny because they're both part of the, you know, he's now his little lackey. So.
On SmackDown in 2010. Just on a quick side note, I love this whole Jericho Appreciation Society being a boy band. Like,
yeah,
that's their thing.
How cool was their entrance of Blood and Guts though? Yeah. They all come out in that red outfit. They did the
like
little
the
turn
mesh
and then
shirts.
The turn again, and that was good. That was good.
Little side note, but yes, Jack Swagger on Chris Jericho, another honorable mention for me. Well, and Benny, that's it.
Yeah, tune in Fox 8. It's free Sunday.
Free on Fox 8 for all you Foxtel subscribers. That's it for the show. We'll be back in a few weeks and we'll preview what is shaping up to be a fun SummerSlam. Benny, once again, thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me.
And peeps, enjoy Money in the Bank, and we'll see you next time on the 3 Count Podcast.